Have you ever started having a conversation with maybe a complete stranger? And all of a sudden the topic comes up, well, what church do you go to? I think it's at times just really funny how I had one gentleman tell me, well, he was born a Catholic. And I said, really? That really surprises me. I was born a boy. And so many times we seem to get religions in the way, don't we? Well, I'm from this church. How do you feel when those Jehovah Witnesses come knocking on your door? Do you feel like you're at one with them? Or do you feel challenged by what it is that they have to try to present to you? So is a story today out of the book of Acts. We have Peter, who is a very dedicated Jew who has come to Christ, and we have Cornelius, the other character within this chapter, who is very much Roman and very much of the Roman ways, but he has heard about Christ, and he prays to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and yet he knows that there is something stopping him in becoming everything that a Jew is because he's a Gentile. And he's not about to go through some of the gymnastics of becoming Jewish because he knows that he will never be entered into that bloodline. And yet he's very devout to God. There are a lot of good meaning people in our world that are devout to God. And yet they belong to different types of fellowships. I'm going to rejoice at the day when Christ returns, because we are finally going to have to learn to get along with everybody. Right? And there won't be any of these divisions up in heaven. There won't be any of these religious ways. Instead, it'll all be about each and every one of us having this relationship with a good and gracious God who loves each and every one of us tremendously enough to allow you to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ, something that Cornelius has not had yet. And yet, we'll see how the Lord instructs his heart to be able to get rid of that barrier and have his vision corrected. The title of today's message, Vision Correction. I'm going to be out of Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 33. And you can follow along with me in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, why not? This is church. You should have a Bible. We speak the Word of God here. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. Boy, how many of you men would love to have that honor given to you, that you and all your family were devout and God-fearing? He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision, much like Pam was talking about. And he distinctly saw an angel of God, sort of again, like that wing, right? Who came to him and said, Cornelius. Can you imagine how you would have felt if you were Cornelius? What if the angel of God came and visited you and spoke your name? Would he have your attention? Boy, howdy. Put the cell phone away. Turn the laptop off. In fact, I really don't want you to see some of the cookies I've got on my laptop. Hello. You know who I'm talking to. And the kids are going, cookies? Where? What was Cornelius' reaction? Well, Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? Well, let me stop right there because you've got a lot of answers in your outline to fill out today. So you got your pen? If not, there should be one in the chair back in front of you, somewhere around there. And I hope that you're all type A personalities and want to have all the blanks filled in. And that you're not only going to fill in the blanks, but you're going to take it home today to ruminate over it. You know what ruminate means? It means like a cow. Cows have two bellies. They eat, and then they regurgitate, and they re-eat again. Yuck. A little too much information about cows. But that's what we need to do with the Word of God. We need to devour it. And then we need to ruminate. We need to re-devour it again and let it just sink into our hearts and into our minds so that we are devoted to the words of this book. Because these are the instructions for how you please Almighty God. So in Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius. This is on your outline. A Roman centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment, who was one, devout. Two, God-fearing. Three, generous. And four, a man of prayer. Men, if that's truly what you want your family to be, is devout and God-fearing, you have to model that yourself. Your family will become what you model in front of them. Well, I just want my family to know about NASCAR and about football and about all the sports. And, oh, well, hey, let's throw in a challenging movie every once in a while. That's what I want my family to know. And guess what? Your family will know those exact same things. Because whatever values that you heap upon them, those are the values that they will embrace, and they will also mirror it to their families and to the next generation and to the next generation and the next generation. It just keeps on going. So, you want families that are devoted and are God-fearing. Become a devoted and God-fearing man yourself. Can I hear a real low guttural amen from the men? Amen. Right? So Cornelius was devout. He was God-fearing. He was generous. He was a man of prayer. And yet this man is what? A Gentile. He is a Roman. And he serves the Roman rulers. And yet, he's devout. He's God-fearing. He's generous. And he's a man of prayer. Point number two on your outline. And this was just some of my crazy thinking. You may agree with it. You may be challenged by it. You may disagree with it. That's okay. These are my points that God gave me. If you get something different, praise God. Maybe someday you'll have a pulpit and you'll be able to share those things yourself. But maybe out of tribute to Jesus, Cornelius prayed at 3 in the afternoon, the time when Jesus was sentenced to death by Pilate, a governor for Rome. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever read that? Have you ever thought about that? Because it says that Cornelius was going to pray at 3 in the afternoon. That was the very time, in fact, if you'll go back and go through the story of Jesus, you will see that at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Pilate sentenced him to be flogged. And then he gave it up to the people. Who do you want to release, Barabbas or this flogged man? And they said, release Barabbas. And at that, Jesus was sentenced to die for you, for me, for all the sins of all the millions upon millions of people throughout all the centuries of time. Can you imagine how heavy Jesus' footprints would have been on this earth, carrying the burden and the weight of all the people's sins? And yet he did it through the strength of the God's Holy Spirit living within him. He took that all to the cross that we might receive eternity in our hearts. Wow, what a generous God. So Cornelius's prayers to God and his gifts to the poor arose to God as a memorial offering, it says. The angel answered Cornelius, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now, he gives him a directive. Send to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner. So not to get them confused, there is Simon the tanner. There is Simon who's also known as Peter. Go to Joppa. And when the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants, and he told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. Do you think that the soldier and these servants were also devout and God-fearing as Cornelius was? Oh, yeah. Cornelius was kind of like the pastor of his own little church within his home, and fathers, grandfathers, so are you. You bring the presence of God into the lives of those who live amongst you, or you don't. That sentence is completely upon you and what you live. You can't bring something that you ain't, right? Because if you just try to tell them about Jesus, but you don't live the Jesus, they're going to see right through that paper mache. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. You see, here's the angel sent from God. Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. See, we shouldn't tire of doing love or of doing good deeds. We should not become weary in that. And yet, living the Christian life is very wearisome. Can I hear an amen? And why is it wearisome? Because we are in a battle. And it's the battle for the souls of people that walk this earth. Not only is it a battle for your soul, but it's a battle for others who are influenced by you. The angel spoke to him. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, what does Cornelius do? He calls two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants, and he told them just part of the vision. No, he told them everything that had happened. I mean, would you not be thrilled if the angel of the Lord had come and spoken to you and called you out personally and gave you a personal message? Wow. I think I'd be so wired, I'd be coming off the walls. I'd be so excited to tell somebody else, an angel of the Lord. I mean, this is a Gentile. So he has not been allowed to be in the temples except in the outer courts, and he couldn't be in the actual presence of God. And yet the angel of the Lord came to him. Whoo! Wow, how freeing. You see, God will come and he will break down whatever barriers that you try to put in front of him. When you try to say, well, I'm just not good enough, or I haven't done quite everything that I should. The girls sang a song last night about missing the mark in the past, but not to live in that past, but rather to think about now how you would have liked to have lived and live that now. Can we go back here and can we fix this mess? Sometimes, yes, because we are given the ministry of reconciliation. Each of us are supposed to go to our brothers or sisters that we have wronged, if we have wronged them, and ask them to please forgive us for the harmony of the unity of God's Spirit, because otherwise we quench the Spirit of God between us. Right? And so, as God puts that upon your hearts, you've got to go and you've got to reconcile so as not to have a division between you and your brothers and sisters. Be one, Jesus said, so that the world will know that the Father has sent me. Be one. So the angel of God tells Cornelius in a vision that Peter is staying in Joppa with Simon, a tanner, who lives by the sea. Now, you know what's comical about all this? Is that to be a tanner, that was considered a very unclean profession. Not something that a Jewish person would really want to hang around. And yet, this Gentile, this Simon, who is a tanner, has welcomed Peter into his home in Joppa. And now another Gentile calls to Peter, or is given this vision to go to Peter and ask him to come. Simon the tanner had a really cool place, man. It was right on the sea of the Mediterranean. Oh, to hear those waves crashing in. Oh, take me, mama, take me, mama, take me, mama, now. To watch the sunset and disappear in the waters. Calgon me away. Right? Caesarea is about 12 miles away from Joppa by a Roman road that was called the Great Trunk Highway. And back then, in those days, if the Romans built a highway, it was a highway comparable to the highways that we build today. In fact, the highways we build today are based on the Roman way of building roads. Just a thought. Now, who does Cornelius send to Joppa? Well, Cornelius sends two servants and a devout soldier to bring Peter to his home. These three would represent Cornelius's power. His power? Yes. Cornelius sent a soldier who he was the commander over. And he also sent his servants. You have to be a man of power to have servants and to have a soldier, correct? So he had power, trust. He had to entrust them with this message to go and get this man who's down in Joppa. But he also had a great love for them and for God, because he entrusted to them the exact same vision that he had been given. Guys, come here. I want you to hear what the angel of the Lord told me. And guys, you are my ambassadors to go get him, to go fetch him. I've got to stay here because I'm the commander of the Italian regiment. There are many more things that I have to be in charge of, and I can't go down there myself, or I would, but instead, you are my representatives. It's the same thing with Jesus today. Jesus is busy holding our world together. We think it's falling to pieces, but it's falling into place. It's falling into God's complete design. Hallelujah, Lord. So, these three represent Cornelius' power, trust, and love for God. John 15:15. And take these words. Listen to them. Devour them. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learn from my Father, I have made known to you. Those are the very words that Jesus spoke to his apostles that he speaks to us today. I no longer call you servants. You see, Jesus didn't call you into this relationship so you could just serve, and just wear yourself out. He called you to be a part of his kingdom, that the work that you do for him, you are refreshed when you see God's power working in and through you. It's a shame that too many pastors are leaving ministries. They get tired. They get burnt out. And I can understand that a lot of them do the work out of their own power. I'm guilty at times of doing the same things, and I get tired. I get weary. But you know where I find my time of refreshment? I go back to my commander-in-chief. I go back to Jesus, and I let him refresh me and restore me back to his set plans for my life. And I have to, again, resolve myself that, Lord, I'm on this earth not for my pleasures, but for yours. And help me to reach as many as I can for as long as I can. At the same time that Cornelius has sent these people, his entourage, down to Joppa, Peter is praying about noon the following day as they were on their journey and approaching the city. Peter went up on the roof to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. So he too gets a vision. So you can see how the vision correction title came about. Or maybe you're still shaking your heads going, no, I don't want to step into your world. I don't blame you. He, Peter, saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet bring down onto earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. And then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. You know what that would have meant to a Jewish person? That would have been revolting. And you hear it in Peter's exclamation. He says, surely not, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. And the voice spoke to him a second time, and he says, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. What does that speak to you? So Peter is praying and hungry, and in a vision he sees heaven opened in a large sheet with all kinds of animals, reptiles, and birds. God instructs him to get up, kill, and eat. And Peter declines, stating they're impure. and unclean, but God corrects him. At about that time, and God didn't do this just once. It says he showed Peter this vision three times. Now, we know Peter is a little hard-headed. Can anybody in this crowd relate? Does it take God knocking on the door of your heart a few times before you finally open it up? Why are you resisting God so much? But please know, God will keep on pursuing you. God will never give up, because his heart is that none would perish, but that all would come to a saving knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ. Cornelius' entourage arrives, and they tell Peter their master's vision, and they leave the next day. Isn't this amazing? Peter is staying at Simon the Tanner's home in Joppa, so he's a guest in Simon's home, and yet this entourage comes, and he's like, "Hey, my meal's just about to be made. You guys just kind of spend the night here. We'll head out in the morning. We'll go." Wasn't that nice of Peter to be so generous? I can imagine Simon the Tanner having a Martha going, "What did he just do? He just invited three more mouths to stay here and eat and sleep? What? Oh, I hope this guy leaves soon." And the next morning, they do. The men replied to Peter, "We have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. To be his guests? Wow. What a generous guy Peter is. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, so it's not just Peter and this entourage from Cornelius. Peter takes some brothers with him, and they return to Caesarea, which, oh, by the way, is modern-day Tel Aviv. If you ever hear of Tel Aviv, that's Caesarea years earlier. So the following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. You see, Cornelius knew the Roman highway. He knew how long that it would take his entourage to go. And after all, he had sent them from his place at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's when he had been given the vision. He was in prayer at 3 in the afternoon, and so he sent them off that afternoon to go get Peter. It took them a day and a half to get there. And then they spent a day with Peter, or overnight at least. So it took them a day and a half to also get back to Caesarea. We think of traveling 12 or 20 miles, and we don't think nothing about that, do we? But transport yourself back to the biblical times. That was a couple of days, even with a great highway. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up. I'm only a man myself." You see, we don't worship men. I don't want any of you worshiping me as a pastor. The only thing I am is trying to guide you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I am a man just like the rest of you. Well, some of you women aren't men. Some of you are. Think about it. I I don't know why I went there. I think I need some soup. Stand up. We're not supposed to revere men. We're supposed to revere the God they represent. Talking with Cornelius, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. So, in other words, there was some exchange going on between Peter and Cornelius. He said to that crowd, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him." Oh, how gallant of you, Peter. Wait a minute. Where did we just pick you up from? Oh, Simon the Tanner? Down in Joppa, a Gentile who had a very unclean business that a Jew couldn't touch? Oh, we should have left you there. How dare we get you all dirtied up by coming to this house, a Roman centurion's home? Do you know how in order that would have been? Do you know how clean and all the servants that he would have had? Wow, seriously, Peter? What an attitude. And yet we get that same attitude when we hear of people of other religions or other churches. The walls instantly come up. Don't believe me? You meet somebody on the street, and for some reason you get into an easy conversation with them, and then you maybe work into that, "Hey, I go to church at Mountain Valley." And they go, "Oh, really? Well, I'm a Muslim." Or, "I'm a Mormon." Or, "I'm Jewish." Down comes the wall between you and them, right? It's not necessarily that you wanted to have that wall there, but all of a sudden now you are challenged in your conversation with that person. And instead of sharing Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior, with them, you're challenged by their belief systems. And instead of knowing your belief systems strong enough that you can not argue, you're not ever going to argue anybody into a church or into a relationship with Jesus. Amen? But instead, you love them. Really? What does your religion say about loving one another? Oh, well, no, it's, "I'll love you if you can prove your heritage through my Jewish ancestors. If you can be one of us, then I will embrace you." Boy, walls of religion, they come up to all of us, even today, even back in Peter's time. "You're well aware it's against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile." Is Peter at this point in time a Jew anymore? Well, he is, but he's a Jew born anew. And yet he's not presenting a gospel of grace and forgiveness to this Roman household. But he goes on with his gallantness. Gotta love this. "But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean." Whoa, dude. How gracious. "Oh, thank you, my gracious one. Can you stand here, please? I want my eyes to be on you because you're so gracious." "May I ask you why you sent for me?" "I was really enjoying the sea down by Joppa. Now I'm up in Caesarea." "Oh, are you kidding me? This town? All of its trade, all the different varieties of people that are coming in, and I'm invited here. Why did you send for me?" And Cornelius answered, "Well, 4 days ago I was in my house praying at this very hour at 3 p.m, and suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner. Yeah. Who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately. And it was good of you to come. Now, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Let me ask you, out of the two characters in what I just read, who really had their vision on the end prize? Cornelius or Peter? Unfortunately, Cornelius did, right? Now that the man of God has arrived, let us hear what God wants to speak to us. Please bless us with the word of God. In honor of Peter, Cornelius gathers his family and friends to hear the gospel of Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, our scripture verse. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, Joppa was actually located in Judah. Now, Peter is transported up to Caesarea, which is at the northern edge of Samaria, and a great center of influence for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be taken to the ends of the earth. Peter and Cornelius share their vision corrections and are ready to receive what the Lord commands. And when God's Spirit invades, peace prevails and truth is revealed.